Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to another episode of the Let's Keep It A Buck podcast, episode 71. 71, let me get the gunshots in. Episode 71 in the building. Real quick, no Omar on today's pod. He is out and about. He is busy. It is all good. We will see you next pod. Shout out to Omar. But we got the regular degulars in the building. Damos, it was good to the chat.
What's good, chat?
Back at it again with the backwoods hoodie. The classic. Hey, the classic.
You already know.
I just peeped that shit.
We got Sage in the building. Hasn't had an all-star team up loss in a minute. Seems to be in a good mood.
Hey, man, shut your ass up. Yeah.
And we got a guest on tonight. We have Ant Wright in the building. Say what's good to the chat.
What up, chat? Hope everything is good. Hope everything is lovely.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So last pod, we had our play-in / first-round predictions, and we about to get into how bad we've been so far. But before we get into that, shout out to the Spotify people. Shout out to the iTunes people. Leave us a 5-star on iTunes. Shout out to YouTube as well. We're getting ones and twos every video now. You know what I'm saying? Hey, we're attacking the algorithms on the YouTube side of things. Shout out to Twitch as well. Instagram, TikTok. Y'all know where to find us. But let's start off the pod by just checking in on everyone. So how's everyone been?
Just getting into the right mindset, as you can tell by when I joined in. YouTube, you may not know, but let's just say Chris Brown's the top three artists. So came in as motherfucker with a light skin mindset to play the light skin bastard tonight. My favorite player stuff, but he gotta go down, bro. So other than that, I'm getting happy as hell.
Gotta fight fire with fire. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Dom, how you been?
I've been good, man. This is just another day. Another day for me. I ain't worried about too much.
You look tired as fuck, bro. Are you good?
I just woke up. Like, literally, when you called me is when I got up and sat up.
Like, yeah, I was about to say. I know the vibes when I need to FaceTime you. I'm like, all right, it's kind of close. Yeah. I need to.
Yeah, but I'm good, man.
All right, bro. That's good to hear. And how you been, man? How you been?
I've been good, man. Busy grinding, you know. Same thing every day.
So for the people who don't know who Ant is, go ahead and introduce yourself, because I feel like a lot of our audience is like the Rusty Buckets and you know, that side of things, Dom2K. But I don't think our audience specifically knows much about you. So go ahead and introduce yourself, man.
Yeah, so I'm Ant. Ant Wright. You can find me on Twitter. It's Ant Wright. I just started a Twitch, I think maybe like 2 weeks ago. You can find me on YouTube. It's Ant Wright. I'm more of like in the college, high school recruits breakdown type of deal. Not so much on like NBA side, but I do enjoy to watch. I do enjoy watching, but go to B-Souls and TSO for all the NBA stuff. If you have any questions about college, any questions about NBA draft prospects, high school cats, I'm your guy for all that stuff, man. But catch me on there. You'll see the gold shield.
Yes, sir.
Appreciate that, dude.
So, so for the people who don't know, the way we met Ant was through Locker Room. At least me and Dom, I don't know about Sage, but I'm assuming, yes, Locker Room as well. We hopped on there around February, March. We just, you know, we were in the same rooms, you know, socialized, connected, because your net worth is your network, right,
Mr.
guys?
Mr. Gabe, hold on, wait a minute. Time out. Matt be great. No, that's a no. First of all, I played Division I basketball. All right. That's one. Two, I do entertain, but I am more of an analysis, analytical. I'm not going to get you with the clickbait or anything like that. And I'm not going to post about Mikey Williams once a week. So, no, that's not me.
So no, let him know. What is your so you just kind of mentioned it, like you played D1 college basketball. So what's that background like? What's your history in terms of playing basketball?
I went to Oak Hill Academy for 3 years, and I played with, you know, I grew up with Kevin Durant, Ty Lawson, Mike Beasley, Nolan Smith. Went to school with Josh Smith, Rajon Rondo. We like lived together. You know, that's, you know, Oak Hill, the prep school. You lived there. And we had our own house. We're just kicking it. And got a chance to play at the Division I level. And the older I get, the more I realize that that's not normal to play at that level.
Yeah, no, but, not really. Yeah. Wait, so you had a house and you lived with Rondo and Josh Smith and them, or?
Yeah. So on Oak Hill's campus, we had our own varsity basketball house. And
goddamn,
we lived upstairs. It was me, Josh, Rondo, and cats that are still playing overseas. And it was a lot of fun, man.
That's dope. So I remember when I sent you the topics, Wordy said you played at Michigan State, and you were quick to correct me, bro. You played at Michigan. So what was what was that experience like? Like playing
D1? A lot of fun, man.
Yeah,
a lot of fun, man. It was humbling. It was rewarding. You know, there were times when I didn't play in two games in a row, and then there were other times where I started and was the leading scorer. You know, and people always say my biggest game was in the NCAA tournament, where me and Blake Griffin were going back and forth head to head. So
Blake, wait.
Blake Griffin going head to head.
Yeah. But look though,
what was the stat line looking like?
But look though, like when we
okay, I might say was it head to head or was you? Were you the opponent?
All right. So let me add some context to it. So
context is
by
key.
By the end of the game, the broadcast had called Blake Griffin and me the players of the game, right? So, but there was a tweet that went out about a year ago that said, quote this with the most disrespectful media graphic, right? And I posted that of me and him side by side each other. It said players of the game and Anthony Wright at, you know, 14 points, 6 boards, blah, 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 right? Then it goes Blake Griffin with 32 and 17. Yo.
Damn.
That just really goes to show you, bro, the power creep. I mean, it's a common thing that we all should know, but it just goes to show you the power creep between NBA, NBA stars, and then even D1, let alone
right,
D2.
Dom? Right? Pat like, Bev?
I was about to ask my question.
What's the question, bro?
You're the first person to ask the question, man. Look, do you feel that you could outshoot any particular NBA player? If you was to pick NBA player, not one-on-one, not you take a spot in the league, just y'all meet up in the gym, y'all got to put up 20 shots each against each other. Do you feel you outshooting some guys in the league right now? Or are they in the league? There's no way I can outshoot anybody.
Yes. Okay. And that's not me being arrogant. That's just me just understanding who I am. Now, if it came to like dunking, at my prime, I couldn't do it because I was about like 6'5", 7'2" wingspan, but my vertical wasn't up in the 40s. It was roughly around like 35, 36. And I just couldn't really dunk at that level. But in terms of just shooting, Yes. And that is no cap, and that's no disrespect. Because there's one thing about it is, especially if it's timed, a lot of cats won't even get to 20 because they're so busy catching the ball, getting their feet right, shooting it, watching it go in, exhaling, getting the ball, and they're just taking forever. but 20 balls and you got to shoot them all within 45 seconds? Yes. Yes, I could.
First of all, let's add some context to Dom's question.
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because Dom over here making the hold yourself. No, no, you didn't.
No.
Sage, break it down. How did it actually go? What's the context of Dom's question for the people who don't know?
I'm not regular. I'm not regular. Put that out there. But I'm not regular. There's a lot of regular cats out there who talk out the side of their neck thinking that they can do some things.
That's true.
But I'm not regular. I'm in the 1%.
I like that. You know what? I'm taking that. And I'm letting you know right now, I'm taking that from now on. Every time I do this from now on.
Don't you in the 1%? Don't you in the 1%?
You know what? I might not be in the 1. I ain't going to say I'm in the 1 because Ant went D1.
I'm about to say Ant went D1.
I'm not going to lie.
Did you go head to head with Blake Griffin?
And he battling Blake. I give him his respects. I ain't going to say I'm in the 1%. I'm definitely in the fucking 3, though. I'm definitely in the 3%, nigga. I'm just
Why
saying.
Why are you in the 3? What? This is what I'm talking about. What has been done for you to be in the 3%? What's on the
first
rest?
Of all, the OG argument was can I replace Pat Bev on offense? Then Dom switched
and
that
it
to
boiled down to
all Pat Bev doesn't shoot anyways. So if I can outshoot him, that means I can outplay him offensively.
I can outshoot him. I can outshoot Pat Bev.
In an NBA game.
No, just in the contest. Just we meet up.
That's after all the,
Pat Beverly has a higher 3-point percentage than Larry Bird. You know that, right?
Yes, I do understand that. I do understand that. But my only rebuttal would be, when people leave you open, I mean, you should be able to hit if you can shoot.
But
that's my thing.
Y'all going to be open. He says it's a shooting
contest. That's what I'm saying. Again, it's a shooting contest. I feel like he gets a lot of open looks.
That shooting wide open, if you're a shooter, you would know that shooting wide open at times is harder than shooting with a guy somewhere near you.
Talk to him.
Listen, man. When we're talking about guys that have to take difficult shots and open shots, maybe we're having a conversation. But when it's just the guy that shoots open looks, it's different, man. When all your shots are open shots, I'm not about to say, oh man, they might be a little bit hard. No, you only take about 3-4 a game. They are open.
You don't think after a 10-year career of Pat Bev shooting like 37% plus from three, why would all of his shots still be open?
75% of the holes is open, man.
Yeah,
75% of them is open.
Shots. He shoots 4 threes a game. All 4.
All of them are open. Open. Wide open.
Can I add some more context? In the grand scheme of things, you don't know this, so I don't know why we're doing this. NBA open? Ain't the fuck open.
Ain't regular.
Unless you was on the court shooting open NBA shots at a 40% clip.
I ain't like everybody else, man.
Oh my god.
I ain't like everybody else.
Top
9%.
Top 9%.
Top 10%. I'm in that top 10% tile on the planet, man.
You're a high value man, bro. Hey.
Oh man.
It's the worst part is he picked Pat Bev.
JaVale
McGee. You're gonna pick fucking Kenneth Reed.
I don't trust nobody that's a millionaire to look homeless like that, bro. Can't do it. Anywho, I just had to ask Ant-Man, and I had to ask you because it's a lot of people that feel it's just disrespectful to even fathom being able to do anything better than an NBA player because they're an NBA player. I just had to get
but
your
no
opinion on
it. Disrespect to you. Like, when it comes to being a regular dude, it's just not going to happen.
Thank you.
I feel you, and it's a good thing that I'm just not a regular dude. Crazy, right? Crazy.
And could you break down why you think it wouldn't happen?
Yeah, that's a good question.
You say what?
Can you break down why you think it wouldn't happen? Why you don't think Dom could beat Pat Bev in a 3-point shooting contest?
Because the fact that he shoots like, what is it, like 37 or 38% from three?
You're downplaying it. 39.7.
He's been shooting very well this year. Someone like that is shooting that from three in an NBA game. Do you understand how fast they're going for them to have to, he has to set his feet. He has to worry about who's behind him. Everybody in the league's got the wingspan. They can close out. Defenses are set up today to stop the three-point shooter. The fact that you think that you could beat someone like that who's going at their own pace is ridiculous.
Ludicrous.
Only person he worry about behind him is NBA Karen because he's sitting open in the corner, bro. I'm not worried about Pat Bev, man. You don't worry about Pat Bev, man. I don't care. I'm being blatantly disrespectful to that man until I manifest it. I'm sorry. I'm just living that way until it happens.
I have a question. I have a follow-up question for you, buddy. I don't know if you've heard me say this in a locker room. I think this is the locker room I actually met you in. I don't know if you remember. But if you don't, it's cool. I'm a firm believer of what Dom believes is just the anti of the world, in the sense of the NBA players are on a whole different dimension from regular niggas. JaVale McGee dribbles better than you. JJ Barrett has a better post-up than you. Who's the shitty? Trae Young defends better than you, et cetera, et cetera. I believe if you're in the NBA, it's a good 99.999% chance you do everything better, like exponentially better than a regular person. What would you say to that?
That is facts. I mean, have you ever seen a Division I player against like a regular varsity team?
Yeah.
When it comes to that, so this is just my experience. So whenever I came home from Oak Hill and like I played at the local like Y or little rec center and all that, mm-hmm. it was one step up from going against chairs. And it wasn't that far.
He's calling people walking chairs to the YMCA. I can't.
It wasn't that far.
He said moving target practice. Oh, shit. Walking
chairs. And on top of that, you know, this is like I grew up training myself. I never had a trainer, nothing. So I got to the Division I level on my own and by myself. I can't even imagine if I was surrounded with, you know, with like the right adults, the right people, the right trainers and all that. That would have took shit to another level that I can't even fathom. So even me getting to where I got to was a miracle in itself. And it wasn't like I was I did not perform as an all-conference player. I could have if I had the right people in my ear, but I wasn't an all-conference guy. And that's mm-hmm. someone like me just being a normal Division I college dude going home and basically playing against chairs.
Jesus Christ.
And that's no disrespect.
That is disrespect. And with all due respect,
that's the most disrespectful thing I've ever heard in my life. When I came back, man, everybody in the gym.
I ain't gonna cap. I might start stealing that shit.
You step above a chair. You a step above just because you can move. Just because you're mobile.
Oh my God.
Oh man.
Capping. And I'm not even saying that to be arrogant, but the fact that I could do whatever I want on a basketball court against 90% of the population. I mean, and then the other like 8%, I have to make an extra move for. So like it's so different. Everybody is slower than you. They're smaller than you. They can't contest any of your shots. So yes, you're going up
that's
against
just KD
the
every game he plays. It yeah, sounds like
KD, yes. Within 35 feet, I am two dribbles away from hitting a three in your face or dunking on you, either or. You know what I mean? And that's just kind of how that goes.
That's wild that you put it that way because I just mentioned it. But, like, that's how Kevin Durant plays NBA basketball. Like, when I watch him play, I feel like that's just how he thinks. I'm like, all right.
Talk. Katie used to be trash, bro. When we were growing up at 13 years old, he was not that good. He was not that good. It got to the point where I thought he was so trash. My high school coach at Oak Hill Academy, I'm 15 years old, right? Sophomore. Mm-hmm. I'm back there with Rajon and Josh. And we just won the national championship. We're on the bus. My coach calls me up, and he goes, hey, come here for a sec. He's like, hey, can you tell me about this Kevin Durant kid? I'm in 10th grade, right? I'm like, he is garbage. Like, he is terrible. I'm like,
what about him was bad? What about him was bad at the time?
Like, he was small. So I was in 10th grade, I was about 6'5", 220. Mm-hmm. He was about, last time I saw him, he was like 6'3", like 160, 150. And he couldn't really dribble. He couldn't take contact. He could kind of shoot it, but not really. But he was like, tell me about Kevin Durant. He's blowing up over at National. I'm like, blowing up what? I'm like, he's terrible. He's garbage. And I go, look, you need to get Ty Lawson. Ty, I've known him since we were like 12 years old. That cat is one, is the best point guard I've ever seen in my entire life. He goes, okay. But tell me more about this Kevin Durant kid. I'm like, dog, shut up. Like, he's terrible. And then, bro, I get back to the dorms. We have AAU practice about 3 weeks later, right? I walk in fashionably late because I'm one of the top dudes in the entire country. Yeah. I walk in fashionably late. I got my backpack on. I got my slides with my, you know, high socks on. I'm walking all bow-legged, all slow. You know what I'm talking about? You like walk in the gym and like, hey, Ant Wright's in the building. I'm like, so I look up and I see this dude, like, all right. All I hear is boom. I look up and I see this dude galloping up and down the court, head from 30. I'm like, this thing is like 6'10". I'm like, yo, who is this? I'm like, yo, that's Sticks. I'm like, what? And they're like, yo, that's fucking KD. I'm like, no, it's not. No, it's not. No, it's not. So apparently this motherfucker grew like 7 inches, 7-8 inches.
In one summer?
From I didn't see him since beginning of freshman year. And apparently his ninth and 10th grade year, he grew to be about 6'8". And then by the time I saw him, he was about 6'9".
Oh, man.
and then so this was on our Nike team, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know what I did? Went to Adidas. I had to go to the Adidas team. I'm like, you know what? I'll let you have this one. I'll let you have this.
Man, KD was in the practice looking crazy.
Can you imagine?
He looked stupid. I'm like, what is? I'm like, what is? I had like a nervous breakdown that night. I'm like, Mom, you didn't tell me this was happening. She goes, oh yeah, Wanda told me he was at the church and he was staying there all night and. You know, he went there and he tried to kick him out and he found his way back in to work on his game. And I thought you knew. I'm like, how am I supposed to know 6 hours away at Oak Hill? And sure enough, he came to Oak Hill Academy when I was a junior, and so did Ty. Mm-hmm. So that was a lot of fun.
That's a great story, bro.
Can you imagine? I wish I would have seen Ann's face literally telling his coach, bro, KD's trash. Like, why are we talking about walking in the gym with the confidence of one of the best dudes in here? No sweat. Like, I've seen that strut of walking in fast and late so many times. I can see it. I've done it. I know. To look on the court and be like, oh no, I'm with it.
You're like overwhelmingly second. Like, you're like, oh fuck.
I think he heard me. I think my coach told him what I said.
Oh, that was all bad. Man.
Nigga grew on demand.
That was all bad, bro. That was that, like, that set me back like a good like few levels, bro. I had to, like, man, mentally,
the humbling.
Mentally, like, that got me. Like, I was, like I was top 20 in the country, right? And from the time I was, like the seventh grade, all the blogs and all that stuff, which was still popping back then, I don't know. You know? And every blog that came out with the top kids in our grade, they would come out, like, almost every month. It was me. Then it was Ty. Then it was Ty, Lawson, then it was me. And it would just go back and forth. Number three was always the same dude. Always the same dude. It was Scotty Reynolds. He was always number three.
Who
was
that?
Scotty Reynolds, he played at Villanova. Light-skinned dude. He, like, hit a big shot. Anyways, but you know, he was always number three. And then KD was, like, always, like, not even on the list sometimes. Mm. Like, we're talking like top 50 dudes in the area, not the country. The area.
That's wild.
DC, Maryland, Virginia. Like, he was never in there. And then he just came up out of nowhere, bro. It just took everybody's thunder.
Now he's top 15 all time.
Yeah, now he's like,
that's so weird to me, bro. Well, yeah,
he wasn't even top 50 in DMV. Now he's top 15 ballers of all time, bro.
I'll be in the boonies. I see Confederate flags all over the place, and I see a kid walk out the gas station wearing some KDs. I'm like, what is going on? What is happening? Like, it is weird to me seeing cats just out in the middle of nowhere wearing his initials. Like, it's still weird to me, bro. It's still weird to me.
Yeah.
That felt like me with Marquise Chris on a way smaller scale, though. On a way smaller scale. Way smaller scale. Marquise Chris was not that good in high school. He could just jump. Then go, like, same thing. I go away. I'm watching the draft, and I'm like, number 7 pick, the Sacramento Kings take Marquise Chris. I'm like, why does that name look familiar? Look, whole 6'9", 6'10 of them just stands up. I'm like, that's not Keese, is it? Call my friend from Sac immediately. Yo, is Keese in the draft? Oh, yeah, you ain't here? Yeah, he went to Washington, grew like 6 inches and just got a 40-inch vertical. I'm like, how? What did this happen? Now he dunking and fighting everybody. Was never tough in high school. Now he fighting everybody in the league, though. Man, crazy stuff.
God be designing players like that. Like, this is not the first, second, third, 100,000th story of a player being shitter and then getting the growth spurt in the summer and ending up like top 30 in the league or some shit. Like, this is, the fact this is a normal thing is crazy to me. I'm not gonna hold you.
He just be picking him. He just be picking him.
You're like, are you some shit? That's crazy. I got you, Fred. I don't even worry about it.
Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis. He's a 6'1 point guard. And then you leave and then come back 4 years later and he's 6'10.
10 posting you up.
What's going on? Oh my God.
He was running the pick and roll two years ago. What the fuck? Now you're baiting all dudes in the low post. It's the
same no more.
Your freshman year, you like 3 inches taller than this nigga. He's a whole 6'3". You 6'6". You like, oh yeah, I'm good. By the time y'all graduate, you still 6'6". That nigga is 6'10", doing everything.
I just wanted to get to 6 feet, man. God stopped me at 5'8" with shoes. Bro,
I just knew I was one of the ones, bro. Growing up, you couldn't tell me I wasn't about to get that AD growth spurt, bro. I was like, I just feel it. I feel it. I know I'm about to get this extra 5 inches this one summer coming along. By the time junior year came along, I was still 6'2". I was like, I don't think I'm getting that growth spurt.
Yeah. I don't think I'm getting that growth spurt.
My knees stopped hurting. That's how I knew I was done. When your knees stop hurting, it's over for you. It's like, be thankful for where you're at, because you're done. You're done.
So, hey, you've obviously had a lot of years in your life where you played organized ball. And this is something that I've wanted to ask someone that's, you know, had the career that you've had. How much do you think, and it might be different now compared to when you were playing, but how much politics is there in organized basketball on an AAU level, college level? Or do you think it's just like, if you're good, you know, people will find you?
It's so bad. The politics are so, so bad. And I'm going to use myself as an example. Okay. When I was in the eighth grade, a national publication, the biggest one back then, was Hoop Scoop Online. Mm-hmm. Okay. They ranked me number 19 in the entire country. Number 19.
Mm-hmm.
I was ahead of everybody. Like, I was ahead of like Greg Oden. I was ahead of all these dudes, right? Number 19. From the eighth grade through the ninth grade, I did not play on a national level at all. Like, even AAU, I was playing more local games. I didn't get out there. I didn't go to camps. Didn't do any of that, right?
Mm-hmm.
they put me at the next ranking. I was ranked number like 280 or something like that. I'm like, the fuck did I do? Like, what do you mean? Like, I'm 280. So now I'm 280, right? I didn't do anything except go to Oak Hill Academy. Guess where they put me? Number 36. They put me at number 36 just because of where I was in school now. Like, that's politics. That's politics working for me, politics working against somebody else. Mm-hmm. There is a dude right now playing in Michigan, probably a top 30 sophomore in the country. But because he does not play on a prep team, he dropped from like number 50 to like 70 something. So if you had put him on Oak Hill, if you put him on Sunrise Christian, Mont Verde Academy, he's going to be a top 30, top 25 player all day, every day. There's so much politics in the game, and some people are so good that they blast through that. Like, one of the biggest guys is probably like a Otto Porter. Mm-hmm. That's someone who didn't have politics working for him, but he was so good. He was able to get through all that, playing the round ball classic, wasn't a McDonald's, went to Georgetown, he did his thing, and got to the league. Sometimes talent carries you. Sometimes it's all about politics and hype. Like Bronny James, there's no way that kid is a top 25 player in his class.
That was my next question. Like, what is a player that's you feel like is all politics?
I think he's a nice player, but that's all politics. Dwayne Wade's son, Zaire Wade, he went from unranked to top 200. The first thing I said was calls were made. So those are like the people that you guys would like recognize right away. But stuff like that happens all the time where guys move up or move down. Or if a team subscribes to a certain page, now they get some say in, hey, move this kid up 10, 12 spots over this kid because he wants the similar scholarships there. And it's real sinister stuff, man.
Yeah, that's wild because obviously the scale I've experienced that is not that. I'm talking about like motherfucker at Rec. His dad's the coach of the team, so I'm on the bench the whole time. Like, bro, start me at the three. Like, what are we doing here? But nah, I know. Yeah, in terms of organized basketball, it's way more than that. So I appreciate the insight. Yeah, Dom, what was the look for though? Yeah, two questionable looks.
I felt Bronny might be actually top 25. I felt kind of. I don't know. When I see Bronny, I see the skill. I see the game. I mean, yeah, I might not take that back. He might not be top 25. His play is better. Never mind. But the second one is like, man, you could have been asking me about politics. And I played organized ball since I was three. Like, I played travel teams. I played AAU. I've been invited to Nike camps. I was too scared to go because I was like, nah, I don't think I'm that good. But that was my problem. But
okay, Don. Well, do you have stories? Do you have stories to share about politics?
Even I got a story, and I'm like,
all right. I played the least out of everyone in here. So if y'all got stories, bro, man, I am here.
Zion's from my city. Like, what are we talking about? Like, come on, man. I got stories, but nah, nope. Crazy, bro. Nah, it's good though. Let Ed have a story, man. Crazy, bro. Talk about Zion.
All right. Sage, you heard, I mean, I ain't gonna, even
I got a little story, but I was like legit at that time, so I don't know how much it count, but it was like AAU or some shit.
I ain't got no stories like
yeah,
that. Like,
yeah,
right. I ain't got stories like I got one or two like solid stories, but I ain't got no ad stories. Not no me going up against Blake on the same like.
Disclaimers, nothing like that. Yeah. Long story short, I make it not even 30 seconds long. I dropped off Coach Kidd for the 10th spot on the team. Never saw an invite ever again because I dropped him off. And they're in the practice. Oh yeah, he looked good. Yada 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 yada. the second I 7-0 this nigga in a drill, get no call, bro. I'm like, oh, wow.
That's how it is.
So had it been a different person in line, I'd be on the wow. I might have cared about basketball, but you just ruined my 7-year-old dream and shit. It's crazy. Because after that shit, I said, well, fuck it. It don't matter to me. Some niggas is old.
Autistless, yes. I follow high school ball very, very closely. So don't try me, my guy.
Mm. Yeah. So you sticking with your guns? You don't think Bronny's that good?
No. Just because you're not top 25 doesn't mean you're not good. I just don't think he's top 25. Yeah. He's just not a top 25 player. And if you look at the other guys in his class, you would also understand that he's not a top 25 guy. I would have him probably in the top 125, 130 range, mm-hmm. which is still a 4-star talent. And that's nothing to scoff at. You're still in the 1%. So he's just what top 25 means you are a McDonald's All-American caliber player. That's just not who he is. He's not athletic enough. He doesn't shoot it to that point. He's not a takeover type of person. High IQ, good passer. We'll see if he grows some. He's just a really solid basketball guy. He's just not top 125, which is okay.
Yeah,
and that's not me clowning him.
Yeah, that should be fine.
That's just being real.
Yeah. As I had to rein it back a little bit, like thinking about it, I was like, I had to really think what it meant to be top 25. And I'm like, you know what? Bronny's still young. He's still got a lot of room to grow. It's not really disrespectful to say he's not top 25. I was like, I can see it.
One prospect I've been really high on ever since I've like seen his mixtapes. And I know it's mixed taste, but Imani Bates, ever since I've seen his, like, since freshman year. So, and do you think Imani's, like, he's the real deal? Or is it just, again, like, it's all hype? There's a certain, you know, aspect of his game that people aren't really taking into account.
Yeah, sure. So, first, autism, following high school basketball is weird. I mean, I think it's fun because you're watching these kids grow up before your eyes. And someone like me, who's been in my position, watching guys like I played against Steph Curry when he was 12, seeing what he's doing then I played against him again as like a senior, then in college, then what he's doing now. I mean, just seeing that growth is super dope to me. And it's not for everybody, but seeing where somebody's been, evaluating their game up until to where they are as a prime NBA player is cool. So, okay, Imani, we can be real about that, right? So when it comes to Imani, I think people should pump their brakes a little bit. He is about 6'8", 6'9", but so is his wingspan. His wingspan is about 6'9", as well, too. And when it comes to defense, that's not, you don't want a 1-to-1 ratio, right?
Yeah.
If you're 6'8", 6'9", you want to have a wingspan more like 6'11", 7 feet at minimum, right? So defensively, that's not the best. What he has going for him, he's still 17. He doesn't turn 18 until the end of January. He's very, very young. So he has a lot of time to improve. I think right now, I don't think he truly knows how to play the game, but his talent is unreal. His talent is crazy. He oozes it, but like he doesn't have an in-between game. He doesn't know how to really get to the basket when playing against a structured defense. And he seems to settle for off the dribble, step back threes from like 30, 32 feet, way too much. I just think he's way too good of a player for that to be who he is. He scores at one level right now against decent comp, and that's from 30 feet, and he's shooting at like mid 20%, and that's just not going to get it done. But he does have a ways to go. I try not to watch highlights. I try to watch full games.
Yeah.
And if you watch the full game, you'll see and understand, like, okay, I get it now. Because it's funny, when I watched Imani Bates and Jalen Duren play against each other live, and then I watched the highlights from all these publications afterwards.
Yeah, Ball is Life.
That's politics. That's politics. They're only pushing out what's going to grab the viewers, what's going to get the clicks and all that. But they're not going to show you how he missed 7 30-foot threes in a row. They're not going to show you a turnover because he decided to shorten his steps in the lane and not get longer with them. Yeah. He has a ways to go, but I think he has all the goods to be very, very good. When he was a freshman and eighth grader, I said that this is the first cat that I've seen that could be like KD. Now I'm more Brandon Ingram, more than a KD. And that's which not still disrespect.
Good. Yeah, he's still Ingram, really good. Yeah,
he's still a very good player. But KD got to his spots wherever he wanted from junior season of high school and on. Like you can't stop Kevin. And this is from somebody who had to guard this all the time. And I can't even imagine what he's doing now because he's taller now. Like I couldn't guard him at 6'9", 6'10". The dude is 7 feet right now. I don't care what anybody says.
Yeah, he's certainly 7 feet. It's
and he's easy. Doing unreal things with a basketball. You can't contest his shot. His jump shot, the rim's 10 feet. His jump shot, he's shooting it at like 10'8". Like, what are you doing here? 10'8". You know what I mean?
So,
it's crazy.
So since you're one of the few that have guarded Kevin Durant to some degree, when people talk about Kevin Durant being the greatest scorer of all time, to that you say what?
Facts. I think it's facts. I think it's facts because he can hit you in every way possible. He can go left. Then when he pulls up, you can't block his shot. You cannot block his shot unless you're lucky by jumping a second early and you come from behind and try to get it. But like a primary defender is just not going to block his shot when he pulls up.
Yeah.
And that's from three. That's from midi. And he can get to the rack with his left, with his right. He's highly skilled. He's 6'11", 7 feet. But he moves like he's 6'2". And that's
a wild description. Yeah.
That's the scary part. Like, he's not like a Giannis or a Ben Simmons where they're like that point forward, but they're a little stiff. KD is so mobile, mm-hmm. and he's so smooth with how he moves with the ball. His steps. When you're watching him play, look at his steps. Look how far these steps are. And it looks like he's going slow, but he can go 25, 30 feet on like two or three steps with the basketball off of like one dribble. The way that he can cover the ground and get to his spots – It's just unmatched.
I ask you that because, again, one, you've had the experience of guarding KD, but specifically on this podcast, we've talked about like guys like Steph Curry being a better scorer than KD, because we understand the versatility, but when it comes to just putting the ball in the basket, at the end of the day, I feel like If Curry's still giving you the same 30 on 50%, 40%, 90% and having higher volume at times, I feel like although the versatility isn't there, if the consistency is there, I feel like they're still on the same level. A lot of people in the chat are bringing up or a decent amount are talking about MJ as well as the greatest scorer.
I think they're different. I think they're different when it comes to it. I say Steph Curry is like a shotgun. Like, he'll go from 10 to 22 points in like 2 minutes, yep. or less.
Nah, I'm all right.
Yep.
KD is death by a thousand cuts. This dude will get you 2 to 4 points every like couple minutes. Then at the end of the game, you see he has like 42. You're like, how did he get 42? Like, where'd that come from? And then you like look back and like, this dude was making a lot of shots. You know what I mean? But like, yo, KD is not going to hit you with like 12 straight and just, no. He's just going to go about his business. Every other possession, he's going to get a good look. And then before you know it, you're down and he's killing you. But this dude had a really funny thing. He says, Zenator said Monte Ellis is better than prime John Wall. First of all, that's blasphemous. But I will say that Monte Ellis is the best high school player I've ever played against.
Mm.
Yeah, Monte cold.
No, Monte Ellis was impossible.
Monte was cold.
Impossible. And like, I had to guard Lou Williams, and Lou Williams shook me so hard with an in and out spin. Yo, I thought every ligament in my body tore, bro. And I got so mad, I tried to punch him in the back of his head, but he had spun and jumped so far away, I couldn't even like reach this man. But Monte Ellis, crazy call. Crazy call.
That's wild. That's wild. Now, that's an interesting perspective on the scoring debate. So you've been trying to get into the social media side of things, podcasting as well. So how has that transition been like? Like, what's your goal? Essentially, is there a goal, or are you just, you know, just on Twitter chopping it up with people, stuff like that? Cause obviously we met through Locker Room, and your influence on Twitter and shit like that. So.
Yeah. So my goal at the end of the day is just growth and winning every day, man. Right now on Twitter, like, I don't even know. I think I have like almost 24,000 followers, but I've been putting about a year into my YouTube channel now, and watching that slowly grow over time, and that's a grind, as you know. Then there's no Locker Room out there too. They got their thing going on with Spotify, so I'm interested in seeing, like, you know, where I fit in that whole thing, if something with that happens. And I just want to continue being me. I just want to continue just growing every single day, working on my craft, make sure that I'm delivering the content that the people want and that the people want to see. And it's got to be something that I also enjoy doing. And I love making content. I love it where I can engage with my community. And I think that's super dope. You know, just, you know, being able to you know, be someone where I've been, and for people to have access to my experiences or like where I've been, I think is super unique. And I'm just trying to just grow and do this thing the right way, because I think I'm going to have an opportunity coming up at some point. I don't know when, don't know where, don't know by who, but I need to make sure that I'm ready, and I need to make sure that my community is also ready to make that move with me.
No, I feel that. That's definitely, I feel like you're definitely on the right track as well, because I was talking about this on my second channel. I was like, when it comes down to it, especially now, the big thing is what separates you from the crowd. Like, why am I going to watch you instead of the 50 other YouTubers out there? And just from this conversation we've had on this pod, you've had certain experiences that, let's just be honest, 95% of NBA YouTubers and NBA Twitter don't really have access to. So yeah, you're definitely on the right track. I think that opportunity is coming soon. Just keep up with it, man. Just keep up with it. You're definitely on the right
track.
Man said I played Curry when he was 12 in high school.
I was saying, this is college. Casually.
I played Lou Will. I'm just casually dropping names. Like, yeah, like 99% of the community ain't gonna be able to relate.
Yeah, I live with Rondo and Josh Smith, you know what I'm saying?
Content is gonna be genuine by default.
Yeah, like, you're good. You are definitely good.
Kyle Lowry, he was busting our ass in Philly, bro. Kyle Lowry was giving Rajon the business. We were down by 20. Yeah, bro. Like, I don't know.
Man, the ability to just be like, you know, I played in the NCAA tournament, and you can legit go to the film and show people you matching, well, not matching up completely against Blake, but your name on the same graphic as Blake Griffin, and you had a great game. Like, that alone puts you in a different category than almost everyone on the NBA community side of fucking YouTube,
I think
Twitter, all that.
Jimmy High Roller literally has a video about his D1 career And that video has like 1 million views. And from all the stories Ann told me, he has like 21 million view videos. 1 million
view videos.
In
yeah,
the pocket. Yeah, like, in the pocket.
Dog. Jimmy High Roller. He doesn't know me. I don't know him really. But he had a video about Oak Hill that pissed me off.
Talk about it.
It pissed me off.
If you want to.
He said, he was like, is this the greatest Oak Hill team ever assembled? We're gonna look into it. Da da da, right? So I'm like looking at the thumbnail, I'm like, I play with all these niggas. Hold on. So I click on this, right? This dude made it seem like Josh Smith, Mike Beasley, Ty Lawson, Brandon Jennings, and all these cats played on the same team. Like KD too. Nobody was there at the same time. Rajon and Josh were there my sophomore year. My junior year, it was KD and Ty. Then my senior year, Ty was still there along with Nolan Smith and Mike Beasley. We leave. Then the following year, it's Nolan Smith and I believe Brandon Jennings was there the following year. So that
– So
that,
he made it seem like they all played on the same team at the same time?
Yes. That was the first video and the last video I've ever watched of his.
So that's actually a perfect segue to one of the questions I've just been forgetting throughout this whole fucking stream. Is when it comes to NBA YouTubers, including myself, Sage, Jimmy High Roller, like you mentioned, I've seen it on ESPN a lot where certain analysts would be like, bro, a lot of these people haven't played real basketball. They haven't played in the NBA. So what do they have any business of talking about basketball at this level and having the platforms that they have? Do you think there's some credibility to those statements, or do you think like basketball is something that really like it really doesn't, as long as you back your shit up with facts and it makes logical sense, you can really talk about it with anyone?
So first of all, it's the fact that basketball is universal, first of all.
Mm-hmm.
Second of all, look at Scott Drew. He just won a national championship at Baylor, right? People would listen to him if he wanted to talk about basketball on an NBA platform. He was a student manager in college, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So anybody can have an opinion about the game. Anybody. Now, when you go out of your way and then you start disrespecting the game and you've never really played the game, then there's an issue, in my opinion. But if you are in it to, share the game, share your analysis, your opinion should hold weight. And whether you have a bunch of followers or you don't, whether you play the game or you didn't. Because on the flip side, there are cats who played a lot of time in the NBA. I listen to them talk, and I'm like,
"That's the thing.
This dude has no clue what he's talking about."
I was like, Ryan Hollins,
Kendrick Perkins,
some dudes played at a certain level where they didn't have to learn the nuances of the game. Some guys played at a certain level where, they are mentally a certain way to where they're crazy enough just to be focused on one or two things, and that's what made them great.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of NBA players cannot analyze a basketball game. Didn't you see Candace Parker putting Shaq in a blender for like a month straight?
Just about switching.
Shit, I ain't got nothing to say now.
Just about simple stuff. And just how someone who didn't play basketball, that doesn't make you not qualified to talk about hoops. But at the same time, it doesn't make you automatically qualified to talk about hoops, even if you played your entire life.
Yeah.
You come with the content, and then we can figure out if you know what you're talking about or not. You know what I mean? So, I think that, like, I love YouTube, and I think it's super dope, and it allows people to have a voice and build a community off their voice. But when it comes down to your content being very either, like, just, like, Jimmy High Rock, his thing with that thing just pissed me off. So, like,
if it's factually incorrect, you know, that's a whole nother thing. Yeah, I'm just talking about analysis. Yeah. Like, I'm bringing up facts, and you're in the comment section. I'm like, bro, look at yourself. Like, I'm like, bro, refute the facts. Like, that's not what we're here to talk about.
Literally lying at this.
I get texts all the time. I get texts like once a month. Hey, bro, you play with Brandon Jennings? You don't never talk about that shit. I'm like, cause it never happened. That's why. Like, well, that's not what this dude said, and this got 6 million views. Good lord.
I wanted to ask you in the sense of you mentioned the players that are guys who don't play the sport that have this take of disrespecting the game. I am one of those dudes that like have that little rant thing or whatever, but I've never been the type of guy who disrespects the game to a certain level. What I mean by that is, for example, let's take a guy like Russell Westbrook, who day in and day out, I slowly believe, and I know Dom making a face, slowly believe he's becoming one of the more underrated players in history. And what I mean by that is he has his moments, and to put it bluntly, Russ is going to rust. But I feel a lot of people devalue him to where they act like all he's done doesn't, I don't even know the word, but create enough pressure and enough intensity and focus on his game. That if he has a bad game, hypothetically, that is now pushed under the rug because it's like, oh, here Russ going on with the turnovers. Here Russ going on with the break shots and shit like that. What would you say? What would you say to people who are quick to slander superstars?
People that call NBA All-Stars losers.
People that are just like for example, takes where obvious role players are now being seen in the same limelight as players that are on the billboards 24/7, 365 because of certain stats like Carmelo Anthony not being a great scorer or et cetera. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah. So the thing with Russ is that it confuses a lot of people. It confuses a lot of people because people who don't know the game can't use analytics to really back up what they really want to talk about. Because Russ is such a stat sheet stuffer. He abuses box scores, right?
Yeah.
So I think there's more confusion around him because a lot of people use analytics to break down what they're seeing. But Russ is weird to where the analytics don't really mirror what's happening on the basketball court with him. So if you don't really know the game, it's going to be harder for those folks. That's why there's a lot of like back and forth with that. Why he's so, what's the word? So
he's so up and then so down in the terms of like half of the people.
Polarized. Yeah,
polarized. He's like NBA young boy and basketball players to me.
NBA,
seriously. Very seriously, in terms of an artist who people view is either the GOAT or food. I would think that perfectly goes with Russell Westbrook. Dominate a face.
I would say that's a bad analogy though.
It would make sense
if YoungBoy was to put out like great single after single after single, but then when he puts out a fucking album, it's trash or he misses a lot with the album. That's more Russ. The problem with YoungBoy is his fans is why a lot of people don't like him because his fans hold him to such a high regard and it's like, bro, he's not up here with these people. Therefore, you have to like hate him just to humble him. With Russ, it's way beyond Russ fans. Like it's beyond Russ fans. It's Russ himself, and they're talking about me. I call Russ a loser every chance I get. Listen. I call Russ a loser every chance I get, strictly because what we just seen yesterday. Everything Russ is great at never matters when he needs it to matter. When it's time to win, when he's been the best player on a playoff team,
he's out in the first round because either A, the team is just not what it needs to be, which I give it to him. He's not had the perfect team all the time. But he's just never performed to the level you would want your superstar level player to perform. He throws the ball out of bounds. He takes terrible shots and misses them. He's inconsistent. Like, what he does with triple doubles is great, but like we said on the pod when we really broke down Russ, when you're thinking of the big O, when do you talk about the big O? When you're talking about triple doubles, that's it. You might be like, oh, name your top 10 point guards all time. Then you'll talk about the big O. But no one ever brings up Oscar when you're talking best players. Like, unless you're like as my granddad talks about him, but that's because he still thinks Kareem's the GOAT. Like, that's just, that's that generation. Russ is that type of player. Like, the things he does, great. I give it to him. He's a Hall of Famer. He's one of the best to ever play this game. We understand that. But when we're talking about the best players of this era, unless you're talking about who was exciting to watch or who had triple-doubles, you're not about to talk about Russ.
In this era? Yes, you are.
I'm talking, well, when we get older, I mean, I'm saying when we get to the point to where we're talking to our kids and grandkids about what we watch with basketball, we're going to say, well, Russ was amazing because he was exciting and this and that, but they're going to be it's going to be about 15 point guards in the next 10 years to come out, and it's going to be there clearly better than Russ. Like, 15 guys about to come out clearly better than Russ.
I think Russ's career is actually a career that'll age better than what it's perceived right now. I feel like when you look back and you see 9 All-Star appearances, 10 All-NBA teams, an MVP, 4 seasons of a triple-double in a row, that's going to age
and
well.
All them seasons ends with Russell Westbrook breaking 20 shots, Russell Westbrook 30 turnovers, Russell Westbrook, when every season ends like that, I'm telling you, his career is going to look really stained with all these accolades being ended with imploding. Like, he's an imploding Death Star every year.
This is the disrespect Ant was talking about the whole
You know what? See, I originally, and he's not going to believe me, I originally was not talking about Dom. I really wasn't. He just called this grown man a Death Star.
Am I being delusional?
I promise I wasn't.
If I'm being delusional, I will take all criticism. Let me know.
Okay, so yesterday, if the Wizards win, who do they play?
They play the Nets.
They play the Pacers.
The Wizards.
Nah, the Wizards play the Nets.
Yeah, if they win.
Oh yeah, loser goes to play. Sorry. I hate the play-in.
It's weird. It's weird.
Yeah, I hate the playing system. Yeah, they play the Nets. Yeah.
They would have played the Nets if they had won last night, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. Now, what if they lose and win the next game? Who they play?
Sixers.
Spider on my desk.
All right. Who would you rather play?
If I'm Russ, the Nets.
Yeah.
He plays better against KD.
1.5% the Nets.
Also, because the Nets defense is sus.
Why would Russ want to play against Kyrie, James, and KD? Off rip.
Because Russell, when it comes to a guy like a Kevin Durant or a Stephen Curry, basically guys that he has a history with or he's on that level of, he kind of rises to the occasion. Most of the time, at least that's what it seems like. Like he'll perform way better against a Kevin Durant and a fucking mad defense like the Nets than he would if he went against Joel Embiid and had all them defensive stoppers they got over there on the perimeter. Like, that's going to be food. Like, they're just going to look at him and be like, shoot, go ahead, buddy. Shoot yourself in the foot, literally.
Yeah, I just think
that, you know, is Russ a good player? Yes. Is he a top 10 point guard? Arguable. I think Russ is an okay album that does numbers. Agree or disagree?
That's a good analogy.
I like that.
I'm looking at that.
You look at Sage. Okay,
I'm not trying to size Ant or nothing, but that is a really fucking good point.
An okay album
that does numbers.
What's
an example? Whole lot of rent.
You can have
WLR.
You can hate the album, but then respect the results that it's giving you. You know what I mean? So it's very hard to argue. Well, is it good? Like, well, it does numbers. Yeah, but is it good? It does numbers. You know what I mean? So
put it into YouTube terms, it sounds like Flight Reacts. Like every video is not a high quality video. But you gotta respect the numbers at some point, you know what I'm saying?
Hey, I will say this though, that motherfucker, he grinded during COVID like crazy.
Crazy.
Like
crazy.
Crazy. And you know, he took full advantage. And yeah, like, oh man, that dude, his work ethic is wild. I know that off rip, just from all the stuff he puts out, whether it is whether it's good or bad, like he's putting out content like 3-4 times a day.
Bro, I did 3 reactions today because I'm doing more reactions on the channel. I don't know if y'all like it's way more tiring than people think it is. And Flight's doing it like ten times a day.
Do you do yours on Twitch with people following you, or just you do it on your own and just
I'm doing it on my own right now, so I can get the best quality and cut out all the bad parts and shit. But it's tiring, bro. That shit is tiring. At the end of it,
I ain't gonna lie. I've definitely tried the reacting thing like on my own, and then when I tried to like recently when I do like my streams, I tried it. I definitely have a lot of respect for people that do like live reactions on the stream. That shit is tough. I'm not going to. I definitely took that for granted, bro.
And Sage is really good at it.
So yeah, like
Sage is really good
bro,
at it.
Bro, my two streams made me.
Hey,
it made me respect. It made me respect what Sage does a lot more, bro. Like the last 2 times I tried to stream, made me respect Sage because I can go on his streams. He's thoroughly entertaining. Knows what he's trying to do. All that, nigga. I tried to just pull my string up. I legit got this laptop going. I'm sitting there looking at the chat like, all right, so what y'all want to do? Then he's just looking at me like, nigga, it's your stream. What do you mean? Like, it's your stream. I'm just sitting there like, bro, you guys want to watch some basketball highlights? Like, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. I'm like, yo, y'all got it, man. This is actually more work than I gave
you. And I don't know about y'all, but really, when I watch, like, TikTok and YouTube and all this shit, I'm gonna just be honest. I don't be like, oh, holy shit. That was a great play. Like, I'm just on my phone chilling. I'm like, all right, great video. 80% of the video, I'm silent. On to the next one. But if you're recording to make content and just not sit there and just not contribute anything, that shit is hard, bro. That shit is hard.
Yeah. If I have to give insight on how I feel like I've actually gotten better at my reaction, I still think I have a long way to go. But honestly, in true story, I saw an uptick in my reactions when I first studied Your Rage streaming critically. It was the weirdest shit I've ever done in my life, but I think it was the best thing I could have possibly done. Because he's one of my favorite content creators, and I personally think, I ain't gonna lie, I think he's the most entertaining stream in the game right now. I don't think it's that close either. I can watch Rage do any fucking thing, and I'm entertained. Shout out YRG. But when I studied him critically, I noticed there's never dead air. There's never cease of thought. There's never inference outside of being quiet to imply a joke or to imply that something is important on the screen. Like, something that's supposed to be funny, if he thinks it's even remotely funny, he's going to laugh. Or if the video's just being lame as hell, he'll talk about something that someone mentioned in the video. Like, let's say it's a vlog and they go buy Chapstick. He'll be like, I ain't going to lie, what's your favorite flavor of Chapstick? Like, he'll just do some shit like that to keep everybody involved and shit like that. And yeah. I've noticed that he consistently is never just sitting there watching a video like how you are watching him. He's never just sitting there absorbing information and not saying anything. And I was like, I feel like that low-key takes him to a new level that a lot of people don't have. And as Bezos, who's doing recordings offline, shout out to you, my boy. Because you have to realize the moments in your editing that you're like, I didn't say shit for like 10 minutes.
Yeah,
go back. I probably gotta go back, low-key, and edit it, or you gotta cut out the parts where you were. Shout out to you. That's different. Shout out to playback, etc., etc. But I couldn't imagine doing that. I'm not gonna hold you.
Shout out to Jersey Boy Mar for the 2 subs. But yeah,
appreciate you, Jersey.
Way more difficult. And since a lot of our audience is in the basketball space, if y'all are trying to go grow any platform out there, treat it like basketball in the sense of, like, watch film with like intent. Like what Sage just said is essentially Kobe watching film and applying it to his game. And what I used to do with my NBA videos, I would watch Don 2K's videos, Lowe's videos, Korzemba's videos, and I would just pick up on the small shit. Like, what type of footage are they using? What are the transitions they're putting on? Like, even when it comes to the thumbnails, like, why is it structured the way they are? What type of font they're using? That type of shit. This is a craft that you would benefit a lot if you studied it than just, like, bullshitting it. If you really want to take it serious. But yeah,
I 100% agree. I mean, I literally, and I saw someone in chat say, study grown man, tough. Hey man, you want to grow up in this world? You going to study some grown ass man. You're going to study some grown ass women too. If you dedicated to your craft, my guy. Hey, I'm going to say how it is. Nah, you know, I don't give a fuck. If you dedicated to your craft, you going dead ass take things in a viewpoint that you wouldn't find yourself viewing things as. Like, imagine if Ant, for example, goes to an NBA game, goes to the NBA Finals, and while everybody's watching, they're waiting for the big shot to fall, he's talking about, in the third quarter, they ran a fucking out, 4-1 out, drove and kicked.
42 he's, horns.
He shortened his Euros. As a result, he was able to kick it to the corner. The bubble cut. Like, he's studying the game completely different than the guy next to him spilling his beer talking about, hit the shot. You going to have to. If you dedicate it to your craft, you're going to have to.
Step up.
Yeah.
Step up, bro. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Just step up on Kurt. Hey. Step up. How do you feel about that? It's an inside joke. How do you feel about, I believe, Chris Webber? We talked about it several times.
I think it was
Chris
Oscar Webber's. Robertson.
Oscar it was Robertson. Oscar Robertson? Wow. Okay, so Oscar Robertson, someone was talking about guarding Steph Curry being challenging or whatever, yada, yada, yada. And Oscar's, long story short, is just like, step up. What would you say to
that? Man, these guys are so stupid, I swear. They're so stupid. You gotta step up. You gotta go up and get up in them. I'm like, you
go up and get up in it.
Catch up. You're not even be able to catch up. Like,
hand
what
in their face.
About?
Use your left hand up.
This is not 5-star camp. Like, calm down. Like, it's like, no, that is not happening. First of all, your Converse sneakers are going to get busted up by the by the second quarter. You have no ankle supports on them joints. Like, you're about to be done, my guy. Like, no. Like, leave it alone. Leave it alone. I hate it. I hate when old fans want to talk about that. But if you look at NBA history, they always clown on the on the modern era. Like, I remember when, like, Wilt Chamberlain was on some talk show talking about how, you know, Mike is too soft to play in his era. Yeah. A plumber.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. He was talking about how, like, the game changed because Wilt was so dominant. Meanwhile, for MJ, they're changing the game to make it easier for him.
Right, exactly.
Which is...
Dom's like, true. Dom's like, true.
Dom.
I didn't say a word.
Ow.
I didn't say a word.
Nah, bro.
Yeah, you did, bro. He said something. I heard something, bro.
I didn't say nothing.
It's here with you, bro. I ain't sure.
It's here with him.
This motherfucker said,
I'm serious.
Listen, man. Everybody knows how I feel about Wilt, bro. Wilt can say whatever he wants to about anybody, bro. Wilt wasn't a person. That was a basketball entity. He was not a person. Like, Wilt's not real.
Wilt Chamberlain was Willie Cauley-Stein in the 60s.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Ant, stop. Listen, Ant, look, I got tremendous respect for you. I know you know what you're talking about. But Wilt ran Wilt ran like a sub-4.7 as a 7-footer. Wilt was a myth.
Average 15-7 in the
60s.
Oh, my God, bro. Okay. Listen, I get he was playing a bunch of plumbers and substitute teachers.
Mid-80s, I will slander all that. Have you ever, like, watched a game from back then? A game.
No.
I watched a full 60s game a couple months ago.
Go watch a game. Let me know at what point you fell asleep.
Listen, I'm not over here vouching for the league. I'm not vouching for that era. All I vouch for is the individual physical abilities Wilt had, which, take it away from basketball, his track record still stands to this day from the 60s. Like, Wilt was a different breed of athlete. That's all I'm arguing. I'm not. That era was whack. Like, I'm not gonna lie to you. I'm with you. That era was whack.
Over 8 inches. Like, Rudy Gobert would have been a monster back then.
Rudy Gobert.
And I understand that evolution thing. Yeah, but we're talking about, like, at that time, what did they really have to base shit off of? Like, obviously, hindsight 2020. Yes, Rudy Gobert would average 60, but if he grew up in the 30s. Would he average the 50 we're talking about, the 40, the 30 we're talking about, if he was born in the exact same year Bill Russell and Wilt?
Just off of his length, it'd be really, really close.
Rudy Gobert might be a bad example, but what about Curry? Because obviously, Curry right now, you take him in Curry, a time machine, he's averaging 80 every half. But if Curry was born in the 20s, the same Bob Cousy was, would he really be playing the same way? You know what I'm saying?
He'd be a musician.
He wouldn't even hoop. He'd be in jazz clubs and speakeasies.
Curry would be like, bro, this is a joke. I'm not playing.
made some good change back then.
Yeah, that's why I respect that era of basketball a lot. It's just like, yo, they had nothing to base shit off of. And they just made it happen. So
they just did stuff. Like, they're like, hey, wait, hold on. What if I shoot it, but I jump backwards, kind of?
Yeah, I'm about to say, yeah.
They just start doing it
straight up. What they going to do if I do this, yo? What if they?
The invention of in and out, instead of a crossover, what if I?
I'm
gonna tell you what changed the game when they was like, you know what, instead of going on my right, what if I just we can use our other hand now. We going to the left, like, yeah, like
I was doing research on Bill Russell. There was an article I saw that said, like, Bill Russell was one of the pioneers of just jumping to block shots. Before him, it was just like, bitch, get that shit out of here.
They were just hands on his chest, and then Bill comes over here, and Wilt adopted it. They're like, I'm like 7'2".
Niggas was professional chairs in the 50s, but niggas was just standing in there. I don't know what else I can do.
Slap my feet.
Yo, hey, how you react to somebody trying to block your shot standing still? Just
just run up and never jump.
Hey, that's can you imagine? Chairs, bro. That's one step above chairs.
Niggas, one step above chairs. That's half a step above chairs. They not jumping. You might as well be a chair. You're not gonna leave the ground. What?
That is stack chairs. Fuck this shit. That is stack chairs. Put the legs up, and that's actually what they did. Fuck it.
Can you imagine? Oh my God. I gotta see that. I gotta go back and watch and see how many players are trying to rim protect standing
still. Yeah, I actually wanna watch the whole game now. I ain't gonna lie. I wanna watch one again.
Can you imagine, like, getting hit with the first ever triple combo? Like, I go home like, man, I don't wanna play that game anymore. Yo, he went between the legs and then he switched his hands. I don't know what just happened.
I gonna lie, I watched like
you can't do that.
I watched a game from like the 1965 finals or whatever. The Celtics were there, which, you know, kind of expected. And I watched like the first half, and after that, that's when I fell asleep, because that was one of Ant's questions. But
I'm telling y'all,
I was seeing
85 finals. Go watch 85 finals.
It's just a different game. It's just a different game. But like Bob Cousy would do moves that you wouldn't expect, like, people from that era to do. And it's just like, I don't know, it caught me off guard, because I felt like going into watching that game, it would be the most boring thing I've ever watched. But when we talk about like how pace was higher in the 60s, there's a reason for that, bro. Every possession was like under 7 seconds. And like shooting was really emphasized. Everyone was just taking mid-range shots all over the place. It was interesting. It was interesting to watch. But the Laker game is coming up, like we discussed. Also, viewership is probably going to go down once that shit starts anyways. So, do y'all have any more questions for Ant before we close this pod?
I got one just because it's Curry related. it can pivot us out of here. We just got done talking about the old era. Based off of your stance, Ant, we're... Curry or KD, would either of them fit in your top 10? Very casual question.
Y'all gonna hate my top 10. Like,
let's hear it real quick. Fuck it. You got 8 minutes. Let's go.
Yeah. Both are in there. Both are in there.
Wait, what's your top 10?
Yeah, list it. Maybe not in order, but just list it.
You said what? Not in order. Hold on. Yeah, I have this written down somewhere. Hold on.
For an order.
Just put Shaq first, just to emphasize that it's not in
7 minutes. It was only because it's 7 minutes. That's what I was like.
But yeah, you don't got to put it in order. You don't got to put it in order.
Written down somewhere.
Because I was thinking, if you was talking about that, like, Will.
Like, best. I'm talking best.
Best player. Okay, so we're not doing
great. Completely best different player. Because I'm not going to lie. I have Chris Paul and my best players there. I'm not going to lie. Chris Paul, I have players.
Greatest, when it comes to greatest, I think that's such BS. Because, like, I just can't include certain cats on my top 10, even though they maybe should be there based on how great they were when they played. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I get it, but. You know what I'm saying? So in no order, okay? I have Kareem. I do have Wilt because I think his athleticism would translate well to today's game. And with nutrition and protein and lifting and the knowledge of what you know today, he would be a freak. So I was kind of trolling earlier.
Giannis on steroids, in my opinion.
It's like wild
Giannis
stuff.
And Bam hybrid, bro.
Yeah, exactly.
I do have Curry on there. I do have Shaq on there, Tim Duncan, LeBron, KD, Jordan, Kobe, and Hakeem Olajuwon.
So who's out?
I didn't hear Magic or Bird.
I didn't hear Magic or Bird.
They're all out.
You're not a big fan of the 80s Kings?
Here's my thing. Would you take Bird over KD or LeBron?
No.
So get him out of there. I'm not gonna have someone who's not. No, you're not a. In my opinion, like I believe I took the top two at each position. Really, but I did have to get like five bigs in there, quote unquote, between Wilt, Kareem, Shaq, Duncan, and Hakeem. Then I went with my five best perimeter guys, and I would take Curry, Kobe, Jordan, KD, LeBron over anyone you give me.
I feel like a lot of people are saying Bird over KD in the chat, and I think they're thinking great. In terms of they're talking about careers, but if we're talking about talent, it's a bigger debate
put your eyes on the screen. I hate people. Put your eyes on the screen and tell me what Larry Bird did outside of passing better than Kevin Durant. The answer
rebound.
He's
a better leader. He wasn't a snake. Will he go on?
KD is an exponentially better ball.
He was white.
Exponentially better ball handler.
He was white. He was a white hooper in a time where black people did not respect white hoopers for real. For real, can we really like be honest? Like
at that time, they definitely respected white hoopers. What?
No, niggas was not respect. Niggas was looking at Larry Bird like man, he look okay, but he didn't even like that until he popped that ass up. And he was like, oh no, Larry's like that. Like you ain't hear the stories of his teammates like. First day of practice, like, yeah, you know,
man, I got this guy. I'm going to just step up and got their ass smack up. Nigga, like, yo,
I will say Bird is underrated in the sense that, like, yo, we're seeing Luka right now, like, dominate the game and not being, like, this crazy-ass athlete. What's to say Bird can't do the same?
Bird cannot handle the ball like that. He couldn't move like that either.
Thank you. But you don't think, because you brought up Wilt. But you brought up Wilt as well. You don't think if Bird played in this era, he wouldn't move differently as well?
He'll handle a lot better if he played in this era.
But, you know, he's probably more like, this is no disrespect. Like, please, understand this. No disrespect. But, like, he would be more of like a Joe Ingles.
That's disrespect. I can't go with that.
See,
Joe Ingles.
I was going to say, my hot take, I was going to say we got 3 minutes left. All I'm going to say is, low-key, in my opinion,
Joe Ingles.
That was going to be my
hot take. Yo, hey, how you about to say Joe no Ingles? Disrespect and say Joe Ingles?
Hey, yo, I'm joking.
No, you're not, bro. Stop.
I'm joking.
I actually don't.
No disrespect, though. Nah, I was playing. I had to do it. All right, so.
All right, bro. Okay.
In my opinion, if he was training at the protein right and all that, I would see him being more of like a Chris Middleton type. I think he could possibly be an all-star, but
I think you're downplaying Bird, bro.
Yeah, I think you're downplaying Bird.
Downplaying Bird big time.
Go and watch the NBA Finals, bro. You're going to be like, this cat didn't even bend his knees when he runs. Like,
he didn't have to.
Are you talking about Bird by the time he was banged up?
He didn't have to.
In his prime, he was moving.
85?
That's his prime.
Go watch the NBA Finals, bro. You're going to be laughing the whole time.
Yeah, laughing at how crazy Bird is in turnaround jumpers.
Yeah, Bird likes that. Nah, Bird had it. I ain't gonna lie.
My mans was catching the ball on the wing, putting the ball straight up in the air, and doing fake passes, bro. Like, it's hilarious. Go
he's skinny Jokic? He's a little Jokic. He's just little Nikola?
Nikola Jokic.
Hey, that's pretty close. Pretty close.
Yeah, I feel like Jokic would be a better comparison than Chris Middleton.
But Jokic is still an amazing offensive player, even though he can't move, if you want to say that. Like, he still gets the bucket.
Oriented. I think he'll be made way more perimeter oriented, because even though he was a three, he still low-key acted like a stretch four to me. In modern basketball, yeah. Modern basketball-wise, he was still a stretch four, even though he played the three back then. But it's because everyone stood within 15 feet of the rim at all times.
Yeah, I'm about to say that's just because what that era was. Like, a lot of threes were just smaller versions of fours, it seemed like back then. Like, the game was just bigger. But if you put him in today's game, he's in better shape. He probably slim up a little bit. I'm not going to say he's more of an athlete, but he's just going to be more fluent with his movements of getting to his spot. Like, how Luka, he will look so much how Luka looks. Like, I honestly feel like what Luka is right now, that is what Larry would be in today's game. Like, Larry growing up in this era would be what Luka is. Like, easily. In terms of impact, leadership, like, attitude, like, Larry fits the mold perfectly.
Look, we got to pack up. But all I'm going to say is, someone said Bird the better shooter. Nah.
I ain't saying all that, but Kevin Durant, best scorer all time.
That's not even me being biased to my team.
Oh, no. This is one thing I want to say before we go, and it's 10 o'clock. I'm sorry, but
I had to argue. Off and shit. You fine.
I had to argue with my uncle, and he was telling me how he know for a fact, hands down, Dennis Rodman is stopping. Kevin Durant ain't averaging 30 on Dennis Rodman.
You know what? That would be a really good matchup, because I think Rodman is crazy enough to try some things on him.
Like, grab his butt? Like, what?
No, but like, I think that a lot of dudes, when they're set to guard him, they're already defeated. And they're trying not to let him get to his spots. And they already have a doubt about their defense on him. Mm-hmm. I think Rodman, mentally, I think he could guard him. I'm not saying he's going to guard him well, but Rodman is going to try some crazy ass shit on him.
Kawhi with Pat Bev mentality.
That just wild, just wild. And at like 6'8", super
that
athletic.
That was such a Pat Bev hater, bro. I swear to God.
You see what that did to Pat Bev. Like, you see what that got Pat Bev. Like,
I'm about to say,
you know who I am. Like, yeah, what? Like, sure. That's all it took. It took one Pat Bev game of him thinking he's like that to be like, okay, let me show you. Let me put you in your place. Nigga ain't mattered all series. He ain't mattered ever since that.
Yeah, I think it would be – I think Dennis would surely – if and I'm not downplaying Dennis Rodman here. I promise you I'm not. But I think what would happen if they were matched up in a series is Dennis would get a game where it's just like, wow, Kevin can't do shit. And then the rest of the series, Katie going back to be Katie regardless. I think once you're at a certain level of scoring ability in the NBA, hot take, cold take, whatever, I think the defense – not doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
You're going to do you. If not, it doesn't matter, but you're going
great
to do
great offense
you.
Always be great defense.
I agree. 100, a million percent. Not even 100. Yeah. Million percent.
And I'm looking in the chat and people are saying KD's soft. I don't think y'all understand. Dennis Rodman is not about to just go out here clotheslining and punching him in the face and throwing him. Like, it's limits to what he can do physically to Kevin Durant shooting a basketball. You're not just about to take him out the air like it's 1982. Like it's not about to be that.
Again, Rodman might try, and that's enough for.
And then Rodman might be out of the game with a technical or flagrant too. Let's keep it out.
That's tough. Well, let's close out this pod real quick.
Let's close out.
Last question before we do outros and before Ant plugs his shit. Who do y'all got winning the game tonight? Dom, Lakers, Warriors. I know. Just.
I'm out of this. I don't even know why you
asked. Work with me here. Holy shit. Well, okay. TSO Dom, they got Lakers. And who you got winning the game tonight?
I got Lakers. Just don't think that the Warriors have enough when it's time for AD and LeBron to kind of do his thing. I just don't see it.
They have enough. All right.
Y'all maybe if they had three Curries, it would be a problem, but it's only one.
All right.
Jordan Poole's like half a Curry. Jordan Poole's half a Curry.
Maybe a fourth of a Curry.
We've been wrong on this pod already with the playoffs. Super wrong again. So I'm picking the Warriors. Shout out Curry. Let's do outros. Dom, say goodbye to the people.
Deuces, everybody. Go ahead and follow me on Twitter at DomChurch1, YouTube at DomChurch97, and TikTok at DomChurch97. We popping.
Sage, say goodbye to the people.
Follow me on Twitch, TSO_Sage. Follow me on YouTube, where I actually am going back to being a YouTuber at TSO_Sage. Add a 2-3 for the IG and just take it right back off for the Twitter.
Yes, sir. And Ant, go ahead and plug your socials, any projects you got coming up. Thank you again for coming on. Very entertaining podcast.
Thank you guys for the invite on here. It was super dope to just kind of chill, kick it, talk about hoops. You can find me, it's Ant Wright, on any social that's out there, on Twitter, on YouTube, Twitch, IG, even though I don't use it the way that I should. But it's Ant Wright. Look for the gold shield. You'll see it there. It's pretty recognizable. So look for that, and I'll see y'all on there.
All right. Gonna catch y'all on Sunday. Peace out.